Now, it does seem, beloved in the Lord, it does seem kind of that Paul was this a pretty great man. An amazing man, in fact. He'd been beaten, constantly mocked. He's been imprisoned. He's going from place to place. And, you know, he's in one place. We've said this before, but it's amazing how he's in one place. He speaks to the Jews. Some believe, some don't. They kind of get a bit of a stir up the crowds, and somehow or another they get him beaten, thrown in prison, or whatever it is. He heads out of town, and then he goes on to the next town and does the same thing. You'd kind of imagine after, you know, maybe once or twice, you kind of, yeah, he knows what's happening, therefore, you know, just kind of calm things down a little bit. Or maybe stop altogether, or just rest for some time. But he doesn't do that. He just keeps on going. It's almost like he has the big S on his chest, right? Superman. I mean, this guy can do anything. He can handle anything. Never get discouraged. Always continuing to fight on. Well, today we meet Paul, one of the great men of Scripture. We meet him discouraged. In verse 9, we read, "The Lord said to Paul one night in a vision." I'm going to be focusing on this and looking at everything else in light of this. "And the Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, 'Do not be afraid.'" The New American Standard puts it, "No longer be afraid." In other words, there's been some fear leading up to this. But Jesus says to him, "No longer be afraid." And so what we have here in our passage this morning is Jesus encouraging Paul and reminding Paul who's in charge, encouraging Paul to continue on and to remind him who's in charge. And so that's what we're going to be focusing on this morning as we look at this passage. Firstly, let's look at the difficulty that Paul is facing here. Jesus says, "Don't be afraid." Therefore, he had some reason to be fear. And as we look at this passage, we can see some of those reasons to be fearful. Paul had come into the city of Corinth. Now, Corinth was an amazing place. It was the capital city of the Achaia region, which is kind of modern-day Greece, give or take. So Corinth is kind of the capital city. It's the commercial city as well of that whole region. There are two main roads that go through Corinth, and there are a lot of trade routes there. So there's a lot of trade going on in Corinth. Corinth is on the sea, and so there's a lot of ships coming and going. And so it's a thriving commercial town, very ethnically diverse as well. But as most commentators say, as they speak about Corinth, the Corinthians worshipped, one of the main gods that the Corinthians worshipped was a god called Aphrodite, who was the goddess of love. And under the guise of religion, the Corinthians engaged in unrestrained immorality. It is believed that at one point there were up to 10,000 temple prostitutes working in the city, financed by the city authorities. And it kind of gives you a bit of a taste for the rampant immorality of Corinth. In fact, to Corinthicize was a term that was used in that world to speak about the, you know, you're living an immoral life. You're living a Corinthicized life, or you're living like the Corinthians. And so you can imagine the Apostle Paul, he's gone from this university town, where we kind of last time said, you know, in some ways, at